this. Woo!
Put Scooter on the phone, you bird brain.
What do you do, backflips? You jump up there in a silly suit? What do you do?
You go, bam! I want you to play that.
All right, I think we're live.
Okay.
I hope so.
All right.
Technical difficulties there. Sorry to start the show a little bit late, everybody.
We're there?
You were there.
All right, man. Well, good evening, everybody. And welcome to another exciting episode of Fast Freddy Rocks Youngstown. And we are here at the state-of-the-art. Boy, look at that character in the background.
Yeah. Just...
Man, alive. Anyways, I think we got this going. Hold on here. How do we get it on Facebook here, though? Uh-oh.
We should be up. Yeah, go to right on the Youngstown Studio one. It's live. We're up.
Okay.
Up and rolling.
Oh, there we are. Should okay.
Yeah, just
yeah. Now we're ready to go. Boy, this is really professional today.
You got the pinch hitter in here.
Well, we got our new tech in here, BJ, and well, it's good to see you, BJ. You know, that's why you're learning how to do all this stuff now. You know.
Yeah, man. I started working for Youngstown Studio here, and yeah, Joe's just like, yeah, you'll figure it out.
And we'll put you on Freddie's show because nobody cares anyways, and if it doesn't work, nobody's gonna care,
right?
And nobody's gonna notice. They're just gonna think it's par for the course. All right, first off, I gotta say hi to my buddy Keith Sturgeon, first one checking in. Now Keith is an artist extraordinaire. And Keith is working on a really cool project for us for Ace Frehley. Ace Frehley is coming to the Robbins Theater at the end of April, and it's his birthday. So we're doing a little birthday celebration. And Keith, and we're not going to unveil it yet, but Keith has put together an awesome birthday card for Ace that we're going to have people sign the night of the show.
Nice.
And it's made out of metal, and it's about 2 feet tall, and it's got like the Ace Space Invaders album cover on the front. And I mean, he really went all out. So I can't wait until we have the debut of that. And as Kiss fans, everybody's always looking forward to seeing Ace. And I'll tell you, the guy puts on such a great show. You know, I mean, you're seeing one of the founding members of Kiss playing the guitar licks that he wrote.
Yeah.
And it's always a great time.
We opened for him. We opened for him last April in Pittsburgh. Turbo Lovers played with Ace down at Jurgles. And it was an awesome time. He said his band, I mean, he's got a band of killers. His band is just, they're all phenomenal. And, you know, he was great. I mean, everybody had a blast. It was a killer show.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to hang out with him a little bit?
No, man. So Ace is at that age where he, you know, a limo pulls him up or whatever, drops him off the door. He walks in, somebody hands him his guitar. When he's done,
he's out the door.
Out the door, back wherever. Yeah. He's in the club for the show and about 30 seconds on top of that.
That's how a lot of these guys are now, you know. We ain't getting any younger.
Right.
And I don't want to, I hate to talk about that all the time, you know. That's one thing, even on the radio now, I do not sit there and say, oh, it's so-and-so's birthday and he's 78 today.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, okay, do you really have to say how old Keith Richards is? Can't you just say rock and roll birthdays this week include blah, blah, blah. Or, hey, you know, this album is celebrating a birthday today. But the one exception to that for me anyways was Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon last week with the 50th anniversary celebration. And when you stop and think that album is 50 years old and you're sitting there and, you know, we played it in its entirety on the air. And that was like, honestly, I got to say, the first time in a long time that I sat and just listened to an album from start to finish without skipping songs or anything like that. And I'll tell you, it sounded so good. And as each song came on and you're just going, oh, wow, man. Now I know you're not a big Floyd fan.
It's still a timeless record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can still appreciate it, even though I was, you know, that just wasn't one of the bands I got into when I was
younger.
But no, I mean, that's a classic. You know, I think everybody either has a copy of that album or their brother or their mom, their dad, or somebody, you know, like they've heard it, you know, but it's one of those albums.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know, Fleetwood Mac Rumors, everybody owned a copy of that at some point or another. Same with AC/DC Back in Black. So it's
yeah.
It's in that sort of upper, you know, pantheon of, of albums that just like almost right. everybody has heard or owns or
right, you know. Right, right. And I think we'll see more of those anniversaries, but it's really got to be that big of an album. Maybe, you know, Def Leppard, Hysteria might be up in that. And I mean, some of the Zeppelin stuff, there are albums out there, but you know, to be like 50 years old and you just listen to that album, you're going, man, does this sound good, you know? And that gets back to, I really don't like to say how old people are and everything. Do we really need to remind anybody about that, you know? Right. Do we really need to remind everybody, I know Keith Richards is old, I'm old, people are getting old. Our next guest coming up here in a couple minutes, well, yeah. Wait, he's sitting behind me and he's probably has a gun. He's got a cane too. I know he has some kind of a weapon. He's not going to sit there without a weapon. So we'll be talking to my good buddy, Harry George, here in a little bit. And we'll be talking about some motorcycle stories and maybe he'll share his memories of Dark Side of the Moon and some other classic albums. Yeah, well, he can still vaguely remember some of these things. You know, we got to get him on here. That's why we got him in now. Well, the brain is still semi-working. Like he's behind me with that cane. I have a feeling I'm going to get knocked in the head here before it's all said and done. But, did you make it down to the Cedars on Saturday?
I didn't make it to Cedars on Saturday. I actually got tied up. I ended up going to Westside Bowl first. And then I just never how that goes, you know.
Yeah, right.
A couple
right.
turn into a couple more, and then you're like, but no, I heard they had a great crowd down there. I saw a lot of clips and stuff from it's been it was a good weekend for live music around here, man. I mean, there were some packed shows and stuff going on. I mean, I think you know, Cedars was packed out, the Westside Bowl. I was at the downstairs show. There was a kind of a punk rock show going on downstairs. Upstairs was Red, White, and Blue.
Was that this weekend too?
600 people there too.
Oh man, so, okay.
Mean, it was a busy weekend, man.
Yeah,
it just goes to show, you know. Hey, Youngstown can still be happening, and there's. You know, get people out, man. I mean, it's good. I mean, there's been some really good weekends lately.
Yeah, I think we finally got this whole COVID thing behind us, and I think we're going to start seeing more people coming out. And you know, this is really like our first summer going into. Well, to me, it's already summer in my mind. You know, just because of what's planned and what we got going on. But I mean, I think this is our first year now of being back to normal. Or abnormal, judging by some of my guests in the back or whatever. But I really think that people are getting back into it. And it was now I know you had a few Cedars memories you didn't quite get to on the show last night or last week. Or just, you know, with the Eight Balls and the Infidels, what were some of your memories that you were sitting here? And I know we had a
man, you know, I don't go back obviously as old as, or and I'm not as well, I didn't play the original Cedars as much. I know, right? But I played Cedars a lot at the, you know, the original Cedars location and stuff. And yeah, I mean, I just remember just a lot of a lot of good times, a lot of drunken nights there, a lot of fun shows. It was just a cool place to play. I mean, it's like there's all the history in that old building. You know, and they've moved it over to the, you know, it's now on the west side over there too. And we've played a handful of shows, you know, over there over the years too. And you know, I mean, it's sort of carrying on the tradition over there.
Right, right. Now, coming up this Saturday, we have the Left End reunion, and I know a lot of people are you know, getting all pumped up and fired up about that. You know, that's more of like our age group, you know, me and Gramps back there. And he's going to come over this counter here in a minute, but anyways, you know, that is going to be a great time. You know, they got, it's all the original members, of course, except for Dennis, who's not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. And, I think it's going to be a great night. I really do. And they say a couple of singers that they got are really going to be knocking that out of the park. And earlier this week, Casey Malone, you know, from the famous, well, you know, from the Wolf, of course, and all, from CD 106, and Thomas John from the Wizard, and Dave Turpak, who, you know, sound light man for many, many years. They stopped by and we shared a couple memories of their favorite Left End stories. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to get Harry George on. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to run down some stuff for St. Paddy's Day. Actually, let's run down St. Paddy's Day before we even get into into the whole left end thing. Sunday is the parade in Boardman, and we start rolling around 1-2 o'clock. And then immediately afterwards, we're going to head over to the Magic Tree. And the Magic Tree has a great lineup of entertainment here for St. Paddy's Day. Rudy and the guys, Rudy and the gang over there have always, you know, put something together. And I'll tell you, one of my craziest memories of St. Paddy's Day was when they shut everything down with COVID. And it started with, first they shut down the parade. And so, I mean, he had all these bands booked. He had all the food bought for not only the parade, but for a whole week of St. Paddy's Day madness. Yeah. They had the tents up, the beer. They had 100 bands booked and all this other kind of crazy stuff. So first they had to cancel that, and they just kept me, you know, since there wasn't going to be a parade. But there were still some people out partying. And I'll never forget this day. This is like one of those where were you moments. And so I'm there, we're playing, we're having a good time. And then they announced, they said, the governor is going to make an announcement coming up at like 4 o'clock or whatever. So at 4 o'clock, we all go into the back room, all his help and everything, all the servers, all the bartenders, the dishwashers, everybody. We all go in this little back room, we put on the TV, and DeWine says, at 6 o'clock tonight, we want everything closed until further notice.
Yeah.
Everybody in that place, Rudy, he just had, he looked like he's seen a ghost. He just walks out. He's so, and everybody, all the servers and everything, they just start crying and everything. And then that was it for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And you know, we were all just standing there and with our jaws dropping, you know, it's like, I can't believe this, you know? And we all know what happened for 2 years after that. And then after that was over, my sister and my brother and, you know, her boyfriend and a bunch of other people, they all, we were going to make one last stop down at the Blue Wolf. Mm-hmm. And so we go down there and it didn't matter. I had this little shot glass around my neck. And people were drinking still at this point when he said, okay, everybody might die if you get these germs. People are still drinking shots out of this shot glass that I had hanging around my neck, you know, and you know, everybody's going to die. Get the hell out. Yeah. Okay. One more shot out of Freddie's shot glass that he's got around his neck. And I remember the Blue Wolf just sold all their whiskey, their whole stock, the people that were in the bar, you know, and people were buying like boxes of liquor. And it was hard to believe where everything headed after that, you know? And I think we're finally really back to that. But anyways, you know what? This is what happens on this show. I forget what I'm going to say. I wanted to run down the lineup here of Magic Tree. And but that was, you know, that was part of the story there about it's just one of those things that I just remember so clearly. And that is going to be one of those things that I, you know, as long as my memory continues working, that I will be, you know, like I know exactly where I was on that day because it was, it was just so sad.
It was a super shock. Like all at once, it's like, okay, you know, what are we supposed to do now? You know, you don't go anywhere. It's like, okay.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you folks that are working here, you're probably not going to have a job. So see you 2 years from now. Uh-huh. And boy, and then all the, you know, the stuff that we went through and, you know, Rudy was one of those places that was fortunate enough to, at least keep the business going with takeout when they finally led takeout and deliveries and things like that. And so he was fortunate enough to hang in there. But anyways, after the parade on Sunday, I will be there all day. We got No Funk, No Justice from 3 till 7. The Magic Tree food truck will be serving Irish food. We'll have an Irish menu. And then coming up on Friday, this is when we really kick it into gear. We got all kinds of stuff, prizes and giveaways. I will be there. The outside tent, we got the Magic Tree food truck. We got the Feral Cats. Mm-hmm. I love the Feral Cats. That's they're from, you know, Adults with Disabilities, and they're from Purple String and Purple Cat. Cat. And they just do such a great job. and you know, Viking Jim is one of their leaders, and they're just so much fun. And you know, that's one thing about, you know, Purple Cat and Golden String is they let people be people.
Right.
They let people have fun. They don't treat them a certain way. They let them drink beer. You know, I just can't say enough good stuff for what they do there. I mean, they're just an amazing group of people. And so we got the Feral Cats to start off the day. Then I'll be there 3 to 6. We got Old School. We got the Steel Valley Drum and Pipes. And then the house band wraps things up. So come on out and join us. Magic Tree on South Avenue in Boardman. We got the big after parade party. Mm-hmm. And then we got the big party on the St. Patrick's Day. And I am ready. You know, I am a big fan of the Irish car bomb. That is my, I look for, you know, some people say, oh, corned beef and cabbage and this and that. For me, it is the Irish car bomb. Guinness, and you put a shot of Jameson with some Bailey's in a little shot glass. You do the old Boilermaker, 3, 2, 1, yep. Drop it in. Boom, man. Those things taste so good.
They are tasty.
Yep.
They're tasty. They'll get you in trouble. They're out of
that. You know that, right? I mean, you slam them. How about you? Do you have any like St. Patrick's Day gigs that you played anywhere that
over the years, you know, we used to play St. Patrick's Day fairly regularly. We used to play the Oaks a lot. I remember a couple St. Patrick's Day in a row playing the Oaks and that place just being packed. I mean, more people in there that should have been there probably.
Right.
And just you know what goes on, you know, at the Oaks and
a rock
show with you had 100 and some people crammed into that bar, you know.
So we
had a lot of very blurry St. Patrick's Days at the Oaks, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I think one of our best ones when we really started kicking into gear is when we hooked up with Sully and Chuck Sullivan. And when he took over to Sully's Irish Pub over in Warren, this is when we really took St. Patrick's Day to the next level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember one year, you know, we had a midget Chucky dressed as a leprechaun and people were messing with him. And this is something that, I mean, you know, this is something that is legit, you know, the little people of America and stuff, they have to issue warnings for little people on St. Patrick's Day because people get drunk. And this is I'm not making this up. The people get drunk and then they start messing with these little people like they're leprechauns. Hey, look, we got a leprechaun, and they want to pick them up and run around with them and stuff like that. And that happened at Sully's the one day, man. They wanted somebody's like starting a fight with the leprechaun. It's like, that's not how you get a pot of gold, man. Yeah. You know, you can't beat the leprechaun up.
Oh man. Yeah.
But we used to have such hellacious parties there. Sully just took St. Patrick's Day to the next level. Now, of course you have all those big ones too. Like O'Donnell's was big and, you know, where they, you know, a lot of these places would have the tents and all that kind of stuff. And
well, this one too ought to be, I mean, we have St. Patrick's Day on a Friday this year.
Yeah.
Too, so that's going to be it. Like even more off the charts.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When
yeah.
it splits up between the week and the weekend, the when you're celebrating, you know, that kind of thins out the crowd. There's going to be no thinning out the crowd this year. It's just going to be partying hard on Friday.
Yeah. It's just going to keep building. Yeah. So then anyways, at Sully's the one year we had 422 blocked off and somehow we were doing a field goal kicking contest with Jeff Wilkins, who is a Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. And, Paul McFadden, who's involved with YSU Athletics, and he was also a place kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. So we have two NFL guys out there kicking field goals in the 7 o'clock in the morning. We got the street blocked off. The cops aren't doing anything. They don't give a, you know, they're out there, they're enjoying it. And at one point, Jeff Wilkins slipped on some gravel, and I'm just sitting there going, holy shit, it's the place kicker from the Rams, and he's out here and he just slipped on gravel at this drunken thing. And fortunately he was all right, but man, my heart was pounding. I'm like, oh man. But anyways, then we took it from there. And I think I covered St. Patrick's Day. Left End, I think we had mentioned Left End at some point on this podcast here. So anyways, we got the big reunion coming up. Let's share our memories with Casey Malone, and then we'll get Harry George in here. And I know he's got some memories with him and Dennis T. Menace and Dark Side of the Moon. And we'll reminisce about some of our birthday celebrations down in Daytona, because George has celebrated a birthday. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get good from here, folks. Maybe. All right. Yeah, one. Right. How can it go? How can it do anything but get better from this point?
Let's count down.
Okay, you ready?
Let's see if we can sync this up.
Okay, right, here we go.
We'll do 3, 2, 1, play, and then yeah.
Okay.
When I say play, so all right. 3, 2, 1, play.
Well, all got together here at QMUS. We are getting prepared for the Left End reunion show. The right again, March 11th. So we've got that's Freddie here from Live 103. We have got Thomas John, and then we have got producer extraordinaire Dave Turpak. And he's going to be, you know, sound lights for the show. And it sounds like it's going to be really something
incredible.
What do you have up your sleeve for the production night?
There's going to be videos riding along with the band that have been worked on for months. And it's all the founding members, along with the greatest vocalist we found out of Vegas.
Right.
And Dave LeMaster's coming back in from LA.
It's so just like watching a Japanese horror flick. We're not too worried about it.
I'll tell you, when they said it was 50 years ago, I really hate that stuff. I really didn't even want to think about it. You know? No. Like 50 years ago. Like thinking where I was, and it isn't pretty. And I remember a lot. You know?
Yeah, I hear you. Now, Dave, you've worked with the band a lot over the years. Do you have any special memories or maybe one memory of Dennis T. Menace? And you sit there and go, oh, that's Dennis T. Menace, all right.
It's kind of family friendly.
The night I would go see his bands before Left End and just sit in the front row and just be amazed how good he was.
Yeah. I remember seeing him before.
Yes.
You know, I was.
They were playing five or six days a week in the early 70s. So everybody saw him somewhere. They have a memory of some hall in town. Most of them gone.
The Wizard, I mean, DJ, you used to play him a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, by the time the Wizard came along, it was all really, I had spent.
They were already established.
Yeah, I'd already spent 5 years. Because when I moved here, I didn't know anybody.
Right.
I didn't know anybody.
Right.
And so I would come home. I actually lived in Hawaii for a while. And then Steve Miller and I had a house for a while. And so I would just go home, sleep for a couple of hours, and then go out and go see Left End. So they really were like a family. I wasn't like a family to them. They were like a family to me. So I didn't know. The station owned the apartment on Midlothian.
Okay.
So I went there for free. So naturally, I was there every night. Left End was there at least every week. And then the Tomorrow Club. I didn't find out 2 years later. Everybody thought I was a narc. I'd walk
either a narc or a pickpocket. You had wild encounters with Dennis like on stage, or you know, what are maybe one of your favorite players in way?
I had, you know, well, there's I keep telling this story because it's going to become old.
It's legendary.
But it's the first in Cleveland. And their whole shtick at that time was we're the band you love to hate. Mm-hmm. So the C Magazine did a story, band you love to hate, and then had the kid Leo who they didn't like. And they would really be obnoxious. And that was just the shtick that they had. So they had it set up so there was a box of money, a lot of money, on stage for this first gig. And Dennis would pick up the box and say, "You idiots!" And he'd open up, "Look at all this money! You paid this money to see us, and we're gonna give a shit on you."
Oh, that is hysterical!
And then he had a rope with that thing around, tied around the mic stand, and he went down around and backstage. Well, backstage it was tied to a couch, big heavy couch. So in between songs, he would grab this rope and he'd grab Dennis. He would make his old man trying to tie this rope, and it's not moving. And then he'd go to the next song. Well, we get to the last song, we take the rope off of the couch and tie it around my neck. But I'm wearing a really good gorilla costume. So I come around, pull it again, and I come out, and I'm like, and I was supposed to attack him, steal the box, and throw all the money back to the crowd.
Right.
So I hit him, and boom. No, the adrenaline is pumping. I've never been on stage.
Yeah.
Raining, much less this. So I'm over the top. I'm hung on him. He's looking up and he laughed. Oh, hit me again. They're far enough where they can't see any of this. So I'm beating tennis. And then it would be nice if there was a great ending to this. And I said, I made the show. But actually, what happened was I got up and realized I had these stupid ass gloves on. So I couldn't get into the box. So instead, the box fell out of my hands, landed on my feet, and a blonde girl in the front. Denigrated, but I've hated her ever since. She ran up, grabbed the box, took off down the aisle, out into the street on Euclid Avenue, and was gone forever.
That's kind of crazy that a Youngstown band got the money ripped off, because it would probably usually be the other way around. Somebody goes after the
money. Exactly. Well, I love when they talk about the bars.
Yeah.
And then they would, at the last bar, like Sunday night, these are like, at football tournaments, tonight you better take a step out. They're like, oh, come on, we really don't know. Tonight, you better get out of here. And the next night, you burn. That night, it burned to the ground. That happened like on tour.
That was one of the glory days of Youngstown Park.
What happened? So tired. We don't want
Well, yeah, was that you telling me that when sometimes these bars would burn down, that the feds or whoever was investigating would come in to see if they dropped their advertising? Like if they had a year. We're not advertising anymore.
I wrote it and we recorded it.
I think they would have let him out of the contract anyhow.
But then that shows that they like previous
knowledge. I know, absolutely. That would have been really cheap.
You know, TJ mentioned the apartment. One story that's in the book that I wish I would have witnessed is they brought the world famous stripper Busty Russell to the apartment one night. And Busty Russell gets up on stage with Dennis, right? So you can just imagine where this is going. Busty Russell, whatever she was, 50 double D's or whatever, she was famous for that with the tassels and all that stuff. And she gets up there, and then of course she takes her top off. And I guess the owner was freaking out because back then, you just didn't go into a bar and explode yourself and stuff. So just picture Dennis T. Menace and Left End in his bar. Busty Russell up there just going crazy. And she was just going nuts and the band was playing. That would have been one. Some people say, people bring all these cameras out. Well, sometimes though, wouldn't you like to see a video of that?
Glad back in the day
You and me, there are maybe you and me on stage and part in introducing them. You might not want to see that one or afterwards. That was probably a good idea, but it's selective as to what you want to see. Okay, so why don't we wrap this up? We got the big Left End reunion coming, the Packard Music Hall, and run down the details.
And it's March 11th, and they are the only band. There is no opening band. There will be one intermission, and I think showtime's
8 o'clock show.
And they are very prompt, and there's going to be some swag there. There's going to be a merch table, and they're going to have bars throughout the place. I said, these Left End people, the fans like to drink. And
you get close, prepared. You get close, you can listen to Left End of the Ring.
The Close Circuit FM broadcast. Gary Ramey, our friend at Peppermint Recording, put out a special collector CD with some music that's never been released. It'll be available that night digitally and on CD.
There's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of surprises and a lot of fun. 8 o'clock, March 11th.
The Hacker Music Hall. Be there.
Be there. Be square.
And? All right, there we go. Casey Malone, Thomas John. That was a good time, man. And
boy, now Thomas looks old.
Well, he is. Quit saying that stuff, man. We ain't getting any younger, brother.
Speak for yourself.
Oh,
you know,
well, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, yeah. My bad. Why would I even think that you would think that? What the hell is that watch you got on, man?
It's an Invicta.
What is that?
An Invicta.
That thing is huge. Where'd you get that? What is it?
I got it from Invicta.
Oh, okay. I don't know. That's a
52 millimeter, about 35 millimeters, and it's a Hydromax.
Looks like that could be an aquarium. You could put fish in there.
I think there have been, to tell you the truth.
All right, man. And as the show goes on, as the show
downhill
goes on
from here, folks.
Yeah, if you thought it was, hey, if you thought the show was kind of dragging and kind of sucked a little earlier, wait until you see what's coming up next. My buddy, longtime partner in crime, both literally and figuratively.
I've never been arrested. I want that notated clearly right now. I've got proof.
Okay, you're one of these guys that are splitting hairs between detained and arrested then, right? You draw that line.
Let's go with convicted.
Okay, right. There we go. Yeah. That sounds a little more like it. Anyways, the Hoags is checking in. How you doing, Hoags?
Oh, my gosh.
The Hoags is checking in. Todd and Linda checking in, too, tonight. Good to hear from them.
Oh, my buddy Todd, man. Todd rocks and rolls on that goddamn bass guitar. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And that band Epic kicks ass.
Yep. They're always a great band, man. I mean, if you want to see a fun band, check out Epic, and you know you're going to have a good time. My buddy Paul Maverick is Greek, always checking in on Thursday. What's up, Greek? I got to get to San Diego, man. That's where he lives now, man. And he's always telling me about it. You got to get to San Diego. Got to get to San Diego.
Oh, that's good. I'll tell you what, we're all want, you know, we've all been in Youngstown long enough to kind of catch any kind of diseases they have here. All right. Any long term or short term. Let's try that again. Any long term or short term diseases. Now we're all looking at places where else to go. San Diego. I'm looking at a house in South Carolina.
Oh, there you go.
I've decided to move closer to my bike events.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. Elizabeth rolling in, checking it out. Well, actually, she rolled right into the studio here. So she's checking in from the studio. I think that's the first time we've ever had anybody check in from being in the studio.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty good.
I'm here.
So, Harry George, man, I know you had a little rough time here, but you're getting back on track. And
just getting over radiation and chemotherapy.
Oh, brother.
And, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And one thing that I think is real funny, like three days ago, I finally posted a picture of me after almost a year. And so I said, Jesus Christ, where did you go? And I'm like, I lost weight. It's normal. All right. And they're like, that's just crazy. I said, yeah, well, it's not some kind of diet I'd recommend for losing weight. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. The Harry George lose weight quick diet is not the one you want to get on.
No. You haven't lived until you lay on a table with four little light things circling around you and going across your chest and buzzing this cancer blog thing or whatever on your esophagus. And you're sitting there. And the only thing you can think about is that the two technicians, they're some good-looking girls.
They're trying to get you better, and you're looking at their tits. What's wrong with you?
Absolutely. What do you want me to do? I'm laying there with my shirts off. Okay, man. Halfway home.
Yeah, there you go.
Man. Oh, man.
You got to look on the bright side of some of this stuff, right? You got to
figure, you know, you're sitting there, you know, first and foremost, I got to say my doctor, and I won't use his name because that's not, I don't really have the authority to do so.
Yeah.
But my doctor was probably one of the greatest people that ever walked the earth. He was very, very willing to work with me with some of my minor peccadillos, which, you know me long enough to know that I have a couple of minor issues in my life.
And, you? Yeah, since when? No, I never noticed that.
I don't think they're all that big, but some people find them somewhat downright pissy awesome. So, but anyway, it's just like.
There was a time you used to take pride in that. That used to be like your signature. That was your calling card.
Yeah, well, you get. You know, we're talking about age. We might as well get it out of the box. Get it out from undercover. You get to the point after a while, and you're like, "Why the fuck am I still here? How the fuck did I make it this far? And how the fuck much farther am I gonna go?"
Right.
Now you're starting to get. You know, back in the when you were 35, 40, you were like, I ain't gotta worry. I ain't gonna live if I get old. And yeah. Then fuck, God hits you right between the eyes and says, 90, motherfucker. 90. You know?
Does God really use the MF word like that?
I have no clue.
Oh, okay.
I just get the feeling.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, what you've been through, yeah, at least in your mind, that's what he was saying. Yeah, like, you heard it pretty loud and clear.
You'll excuse me for a second.
You know, you one of the most funny stories I have is one day. We get a call at the radio station and they go, guy goes, hey, I'm here at the Walmart parking lot and Harry George is jumping up and down on this guy's car and he seems really, really mad. What should we do? I said, I'd just stay out of the way.
Dude should have never hit my motorcycle with that fucking car. Although the funniest part of it is I had a friend that worked at the dealership where he took it to repair. And he said, Harry, did the car that you attacked, what did it look like? And I told him it was, you know,
yeah.
a red car and everything. And he goes, it's here. And I'm like, oh, no kidding. He says, there's $8,000 worth of damage to this car, dude. And you didn't do nothing but kick it. It's a cheap fucking car. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, that was that. That's one of my all-time classics. But
one of my absolutely favorite stories of all time, just because of how many people got to tell me about it before I got started talking about it. We were in Daytona, Fred's first time, I believe, first time down there, and we were staying at the company hotel and everything, and we had a beautiful beachside room. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody said, can you hear that noise? And I listened. And I said, I don't hear anything. So wait a minute. Then I heard it. And then I looked out on the beach. It's Fred giving back. And oh, my God, was he giving back? That was just raucous and noxious. Oh, man. We've had some good times.
Oh, yeah. There's no two ways about it. All the chicken roast out at the Brothers Regime Castle, man. I mean, those were some epic, epic parties and the anatomy contests and things like
man.
That.
The bikers, brews, and brews out there in Conneaut, man.
Oh, how much fun did we have out there over the years with Greg?
And we didn't get caught when we borrowed that boat.
Yeah, I did post that picture on your birthday of you and me. We kind of looked like Cheech and Chong in this boat.
And instead of a lowrider Chevy, we're buzzing along on a freaking fishing boat.
Yeah. And we're out there, and I still say that we just borrowed it, and you know
we're out there with an inflatable something behind us, and we're both chewing on custom made watermelon slices. Meanwhile, the owner of the boat looked around from where he parked it and thought, "Wow, wonder where it went."
Yeah. And we just thought, you know, we accidentally got in the wrong boat and just took off, you know, it happens.
The wrong boat.
You know what, you know, okay. Hey, you know, a lot of them boats look alike.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
I mean, especially after a couple of drinks,
a
couple of drinks. And you know what? I thought that was the boat that we were looking for. That was a lot of fun.
Have you seen the new speaking of motorcycle events and good times and biker things, have you seen the lineup for the Johnstown Thunder in the Valley?
No, what's going on?
Oh, the Kentucky Headhunters, dude. Jasmine Kane. I had Richard. So for those of you who remember, I used to have a podcast show myself.
You were like one of the leaders in that. You were like one of the very first ones way before this, man.
And
you really jumped on this early on.
And Richard used to come on the show, and it's funnier than hell. I did not know, but the drummer for Blackstone Cherry is his son. And I had him on there is when he told me about it. Then it got really weird. We started talking. It turns out that John had twin daughters, and I have twin daughters. And it's like me and John got to be good with, but Fred's too fucking cool.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to tell you, this year, the Thunder in the Valley should be heads, hands, fists, however, what it's been in the last couple of years. It's going to be a pretty good time.
I really like that. Nice ride out there, yeah, too. And just, right? You know, you come through the mountains and you just end up right there in Johnstown. Good time had by all. Hopefully I can make it out there this summer, you know.
Well, if you have never been out on the Pike, just as a recommendation for some place to go ride to,
yeah,
go check out Jim and Jimmy's. Always a good time over there. The people that run that place love bikers, man.
Yeah, now I know you and Kelly and the Hills and Wheels girls, you guys did a lot of stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Over the years. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. But Daytona, you know, you learned or invented a new technique for wet t-shirt contests. We have it on video. Yeah, Harry George invented this technique for wet t-shirt contest called the washing machine. Yeah. And if you want to explain how that works.
Well, it's relatively simple because one of the things, for those of you who've never been to Daytona, you have to understand the girls in the wet t-shirt contest have to stay in the t-shirts. They're not allowed out of the t-shirts. So given that, you know, people are pouring water on him, and the guy, that was Cowboy that ran
Cowboy,
the stage down
there. Right.
Cowboy called me up on stage, and we were talking back and forth. I said, do it, you know, you can pour water on whatever, but just make sure it's a good show. I developed an idea to go ahead. I got my pitcher of water, and I'm holding it, and I poured it down over, and then all of a sudden, I took her, whipped it around in the front of her, and just put the whole bottle over her left breast. Yeah,
the pitcher of water,
yeah,
and twirling it around.
When I took it off, man, if you couldn't tell what size that woman's nipples were, you weren't looking. You were blind.
And to this day, I have been carrying on the washing machine tradition.
Good
whenever
man,
whenever I have to jump up and you know wet down some t-shirts, you know, I continue in your honor, and you know that I will continue to do the washing machine whenever possible.
I'd laugh the first year we were down here, man, because it's like, you know, you're ultimately, you know, like going to all the places, going over to the Cabbage Patch and out of Boot Hill, went to all the high spots down there on Main Street. And I was, it was great to watch it at the time. You know, wow, this is really as real as they say it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the things we did and everything is just amazingly stories that just stash and dash, man.
Oh,
you know,
we had
Fred passed out in the back of his truck sleeping in the bed.
We had the David Allen Coe at the Iron Horse. That's always a cool thing there, you know.
Fred living on pizza slices for 6 days.
yeah, they had that dollar pizza slice. Remember that?
Oh,
and we that's all I ate the whole time I was down there, dollar pizza slices.
Now, see, I had the good, smart enough to wait till we got into the free parking lot. It was, you know, make a donation parking lot and eat cookies and hot dogs. Not him. He couldn't wait to get down that far. It was only like three more blocks. He had to stop and buy a dollar slice. So I said, what the fuck are you buying a pizza for? We're going to have hot dogs.
For free.
For free.
Now,
and that's one thing.
You know, our motto is, if it's for free, it's for me.
This is the
man that inspired this. If it's for free, I'll take three.
That's right.
If times are tough, I'll take three. Yeah. Give me four, I'm a whore. Give me five, I'm alive.
You know? But, and then, of course, Fred discovered the shots at the Boot Hill Saloon, which are somewhat generous pours.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. I want to get back, though, to the if it's for free, it's for me. Okay. This man has mastered the art of, I want to say, like mooching, but it's not really, it's an art form. It's a little different. I would, you know, I mean, a moocher would be like just a bum on the street and give me a quarter. This man, when it comes to finding free stuff, I remember a few years we were working up at Ty and Esta. Remember Rumble on the River? Great event. Oh, it used to be so much fun. And the first year we go up there, okay, he was able to get free tickets to get in from our buddy Rockin' Rich at some radio station in Meadville. I says, oh, we got to pay. Oh, no, man. I talked to Rich. We're cool. So then we go in there, and Progressive Insurance had this big truck, and they were making corn on the cob, gourmet corn on the cob. Next thing you know, who is first in line?
We have lunch.
Next thing you know,
here we are. Remember the chicken wings.
We get some chicken wings. Next thing you know, we're standing there smoking cigars. It's like, where do you get these? Oh, the guy over there. Next thing you know, we're sitting on these things, and these people are polishing our boots with these with this high high price boot polish that he ended up leaving there with a bottle of. And there were several other things as we're walking around, and it's like, are you going to
all the t-shirts and everything we gave away from the stage? Yeah.
It's like, are you going to pay for anything here? No,
not really. Not really my thing. And yeah. The funny part about it is like the second year that we were there, I had people coming up to me and go, hey man, I want to get a hold of you before you came around to see me. Here's some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, geez, what the hell's going on here, man? But yeah, if it's for free, it's for me.
Then we really got it good because, brother, then we got paid for being there.
On top of it all. Yeah, man. Yeah, so he had it all figured out there. You had it down pat. Then we had some good times at Ohio Bike Week too, man. But Rumble on the River, I missed that one, man. That was a good one, man. Yeah.
Like that old Wolf Country, Wolf County, Wolf Corners, yeah. Fairground. Brother Dave passed away here a few years back.
Yeah, boy, that was a sad one, man. When we lost him, man, that was just, you know, that was one of those things where you're chatting with somebody on Facebook one day and joking around, and the next day it's like, we have some sad news to report.
And I'm not trying to be morose or anything, but if you get to be a biker of our, at least my age, because you ain't got as many years on the wheels as I do, but if you get to be a biker of any length of time, actually, eventually you find out people die, and they don't usually do it in as pleasant as a manner as they would probably like.
Oh, I know.
And so it doesn't hit you near as much as it affects most people. I mean, if they're a loved one, obviously.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We don't mean to be morose on this show, but if there's a loved one, man, obviously if it's a loved one, there's a different feeling. But if it's just somebody you knew, an acquaintance, and there is a difference between acquaintances and brothers.
Right, right.
You know, if it's somebody like that, it's just like, wow, I'm real sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. 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 It just keeps rolling on, man.
I flew all the way back from Alaska with a terminal case of fucking pneumonia to go to a funeral, man.
Oh, that was a tough one, man.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to die up there.
Our friends from Alaska. What a trip that was. Oh, Lord.
There are some states we're really not allowed back here. But I don't want to mention that too loud.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you know, we were talking a little bit about Left End. I know you got some Left End stories. What about you, man? We're getting ready for that big show Saturday night. Lay a couple of Left End memories on me, man.
Well, for one, you got also my former business partner, still mainline big time sister from another mister, Kelly. She used to do a lot of the wardrobe work for Left End. And I believe in the one picture, he's wearing a wedding dress that either was Kelly's or she borrowed it from somebody, but Dennis has got a picture of it. So she always had a couple of really good stories. But the very first time I saw Left End, it was at Packard. I think I was all of 15, maybe 16 years old. And I'm at the Packard Music Hall wearing one of those old army jackets. I got a bottle of MD-2020 stuffed in the inner pocket. And I'd gone up, and who played first? MF Rattlesnake played first, and then Dennis and the crew came out. And that was an amazing, amazing first. If you didn't become enamored with that band, or really get into that band just one exposure is all it really took, because they're that fucking talented. I was at the Tomorrow Club one night. I was upstairs at the Tomorrow Club. And Dennis was on the stage, and the boys were singing. And one of my friends came through the bar. I jumped off of the balcony down to the bar. And what was his name? God, I can't remember. The bartender comes roaring down and says, "You got to go, man. You can't do this kind of shit." I said, "I'm going to say hi to Dennis." So, you know, he's just looking at me going, "Oh,
man. Here we go again. Here we go again, man.
They were just such a talented group, and they got... Basically speaking, they got shafted pretty bad.
Yep.
As pretty much as bad as you can get shafted and be a band and still be a band.
You know? I mean, you want to talk about somebody who came this close. You talk about knocking on the door. And
I mean, there, if you go talk to DJs, and I've talked to DJs all over the country, and two of the things that they remember the most about this turf are Steve Bader and Dennis T. Menace. You know, and it's like, well, that's great. Rock, serious hardcore metal, rock and roll, and punk.
Yep.
That's us.
Yeah, you know? Well, I think when you look at Left End, they really do sum up what Youngstown is all about. Loud, in your face, ignorant. I mean, you could just keep going and going, but yeah, those guys, man, I mean, they just had that sound. They were the right sound, the right attitude for Youngstown, Ohio, and which also carried over to other places. They had a similar attitude like Detroit and cities like that, that were all these cities in the Rust Belt. And, you know, last time I interviewed Alice Cooper, we were talking about that. And it was, you know, Detroit, you know, Buffalo, Cleveland,
Pittsburgh,
Youngstown. We were that blue collar working mentality. And, you know, you better rock me. I'm here to be rocked. I'm not here. Yeah,
I ain't paying $8, a whole $8 to get in and not have a good time.
Yeah. So you better bring something. And that's just the way it was. And that, you know, and that was the same way for all those bands out of Detroit. It, you know what? And because if you sucked, there's a good chance you might even get your ass beat, you know,
better get back to that camper van out back. Cause if you don't make it, you ain't gonna make it.
Right. Right. And so that's one of the things. And I think they just really, they were like the heartbeat of Youngstown. They just, you know, the attitude, the look, the whole nine yards, man. You know, it was just like, this is what we like.
This is like you just said, man. You know, this area at that period in time, you had so many great, you had the Cedars, you had the Tomorrow Club, you know, there was just so many different places to go to. It, no matter what your taste in music was, not just right. Saying, you know,
yeah, oh yeah,
you know, the parlor over in Niles.
Oh, the parlor. Yeah, yeah.
We won't talk about that either. But I think I'm still ducking a couple of bench warrants.
Well,
you know, it's a flaming hole in the ground. Yeah,
right, right, right.
But you know, we had a quality of music around here that you just don't find in any particular area like that anymore.
Yeah,
you had to go to places like Nashville. Or, you know, like you mentioned, Detroit, to get the kind of feeling that the personal, we own that sound, we own that lifestyle, we are them people,
right?
You know, we are the people your mother's been warning you
exactly
about.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's how it is, man. And that's what a lot of people, you know, that weren't around back at that time, they don't realize that in Youngstown, Ohio, for people that were our age, rock and roll was like a lifestyle. It was practically a religion. It was something that everybody in town was so into, and it united us all, really. I mean, to all the great bands that would play at the Tomorrow Club. And then, of course, Hot Day at Idora Park. That was another one, man, that was just, you know, Left End, I believe they played there for 14 years straight. And the fire ended up, you know, they had to burn the place down to get rid of them. But, you know, if you, for people, you know, back in the day, you know, it was WHOT, and, you know, they had all the teeny bopper bands out there. They would always have like Bobby Sherman,
the Cranberries.
They would have Bobby Sherman, Raspberries. The Cranberries got zombie.
Yeah.
So, but in the big stage, in the big ballpark, they would have your teeny boppers. They had David Cassidy, the DeFranco family, Bobby Sherman, whoever was like the heartthrob of the time. And then though, on the midway, they would have Joe Walsh. They would have Michael Stanley. They would have the Raspberries. They would have, they would have the real rock bands were out on the midway. And then when Left End would take the stage, you couldn't get near it. You know, I mean, it was like these guys were, you know, you could bring them all on and they all sounded good and they're all great. And, but it didn't really matter because, man, everybody was there to see Left End.
That's true. Like I said, man, when you think about it, you get a whole lot more people. Like I said, it's terrible to keep saying people our age. You know, it really is because we are who we are, but you get people that, our age, here we go.
Yeah, I hate to use that word.
There's just nothing like back then except currently, and the young man that was on here previously with you kind of mentioned it, he was over at the West Side Bowl. You know, and when you go over to the West Side Bowl, it's a lot like going to the old apartment on Midlothian.
Yeah.
Except they got better pizza over at the West Side Bowl.
Yeah, right.
And those guys over there, there's a whole little string of places, again, like the new Cedars down there on 6th Street. You know, there's a whole little string of those places that are seriously working to bring us back. If we ever really needed to come back.
Yeah.
But I mean, to really bring our signature, our footprint back into the rock and roll, you know, venues and stuff like that. And that's exactly like we did prove to be lucky to grow up here. We didn't have to pay Cleveland or Pittsburgh prices, but we still got to party with the baddest of the best.
Oh yeah.
You know,
there's no two ways about that, man. That's true. True that, man. True that. But yeah, no, it was really something to see. And we had so many people. There used to be at one point, they had like teen dances at like the Ukrainian Hall or at the Eagles or here or there, whatever, Union Hall, and right across the street here at the YMCA. And they used to have all these teen dances. They at one point they had a teen dance, and it was over at the Ukrainian Hall on Bella Vista. It was like one of those 10 band all day thing. Right. And it was like every band that played there had been signed.
Right.
You know, on a Saturday afternoon at a teen dance, and you had 10 bands and they were all signed and they were all from the Youngstown area. I mean, how do you, that's really again, something.
You know, we're not, you know, like we're not sitting there doing rah, rah, cheer, cheer for Youngstown. It's just the basic facts are what they are. We had great pools of talent here. A lot of the Cleveland bands that were breaking in and breaking out wanted to get broke in Youngstown.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, you know, they would find a better feedback from the audience at that time. And still at this time, if you look at it now. So, I mean, from JR's, like I said, from JR's to West Side to the Cedars, all of those venues are getting bigger and stronger all the time.
Yep.
I occasionally share on Facebook events. Red Seeking Blue, Red Wining Blue.
Oh yeah. I love that band. They are great, man.
And Labra was there, just recently. And you've got now, what is that? The new theater up in River, the new theater in Warren.
Oh yeah. Robin's Theater.
Robin's, that's it. Robin's,
yeah. And the shows that they've been bringing in, I mean, you know, that's been
Kenny
good.
G's leaves me a little flat.
Hey, we have somebody in the studio that's going to see Kenny G. I'm not mentioning any names. I get a point at Elizabeth sitting over here.
Who's that girl again? Oh, Elizabeth. We're not going to talk about Elizabeth.
No. The one that's going to go see Kenny G.
Kenny G.
Yeah. Wow.
Great-ass cornet thing he plays. No, he plays a saxophone. Who can tell? They all look strange and serpentine.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the funniest ones with Left End was, you know, was the Farmer Jim Jam.
Oh, my God.
That was like a legendary show. You know, because, you know, once the Wizard went away, and then when we came back with CD 106, you know, we started playing Left End again. And that's what really got those guys back together, because all of a sudden people were hearing Bad Talking Lady and Taking Time and Cyclo Rider and this and that on the radio. And, you know, when we first started, when we were CD 106, a lot of people, they all thought everything we were playing was on CD. And right. We never said that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and CDs were just coming out. Could you believe that? That's how long ago that was. And
will CDs- you stop with the age references?
Well, you were the Jesus one that's saying Christ. People our age, you know, we're
I'm
talking
to get by. I'm trying to get over. Okay.
Okay. All right. So anyways, you know,
certain,
you know, so, but people thought that everything we played was on CD anyway, but
you mean it wasn't, no, I know it wasn't, because I was racking cassette,
you know, so it was like, you know, so that's what really brought them back, and the interest come back. And boy, we did that show at the Park Inn with Live Living and Breathing, and
that big show over at Yankee Lake.
Yeah, the big show at Yankee Lake.
Oh my God.
And the Farmer Jim Jam, though, you know, we're talking about one of Dennis's costumes was that wedding gown. And I remember he
hat?
Comes
Let's
out.
Forget the top hat.
Yeah, and the top hat. And the grenades and the bullets and all that stuff. And I remember he comes out on stage at the Farmer Jim Jam, and people were heavily drinking there.
You don't think that.
You know, people were showing up there drunk at like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, waiting in line and tailgating and stuff. I remember my one buddy, this guy, Big Meat, he had like a Jeep, and I could remember I'm holding on to the roll bar and he's just flying around the place and stuff. Then all the girls from Bullwinkle's on the south side were stealing, they were stealing t-shirts from the concession stand. Imagine that. You know, I wouldn't have expected anything less. And there was just all
Wilson
this
graduates, right?
And there's this all the people were making hats out of like you know, beer and 12 packs, and there was just all this insanity going on around it the whole day, you know. And Saxville was there, and Bill Scudero opened, and I think the Walking Clampets were there.
Yeah,
I think they were. And it was just, and the weather was so great. And here comes Dennis. Next thing you know, he's wearing that bridal gown and a top hat, and he's got these hand grenades hanging off of him. Yeah. By the time, you know, he's three songs in, now he's in like some kind of leather, you know, bustier or leather or whatever, you know, like some kind of
it's
teddy.
Like a thong,
or,
man.
Yeah, like a thong or a cod piece or something. And I believe to this day, rock and roll is still illegal in Cortland after that.
I think they actually had a concert out there sometime last year.
Was that really Cortland though? We were out there, but I don't think that was Cortland. That was closer to Champion.
That was closer to
Champion. Yeah, yeah.
I think the thing at Farmer Jim's kind of started the process. I think the concert at Trumbull County Fair probably finished it.
Yeah. Oh, we did the Mosquito Dam Jam.
Yeah.
Mosquito Dam Jam. That was another legendary one. I was going to talk about that because this past week, ooh, Peter Wolf from the Jay Giles Band celebrated his birthday.
Oh my God.
You know, and I don't even want to talk about how, you know, I'm just going to say he celebrated a birthday this week and he's still out there rocking and he's still getting it done.
He's closer to 100 than you and I are.
Thank God. Somebody is. So anyways, that had to be what, 1976, 1977, somewhere in that area. And it was at the Trumbull County Fairgrounds, and it was Blue Oyster Cult. I think Bob Seger, Stars might have been there.
Yeah, Stars was there.
And Jay Giles Stars Band.
Was a killer band.
Jay Giles Band, and then there might have been somebody else.
There was, but I can't remember who it was.
And it was just like, it was just craziness. You know, this was these late 70s concerts that these people would throw at these fairgrounds and stuff. And people were just showing up in droves from all over the place.
I don't
place.
Think they ever expected to get as big as it did.
No.
Their
no.
security force failed miserably relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Because even me got my big ass over a fence and up through the yard without paying to get in, man.
So. Yeah. And that was the thing too, man. People in that area were pissed because people were just pulling up and parking in their yards and leaving their cars and heading out to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then it started raining. And then I think Jay Giles didn't play.
Right.
And that's what kind of started the whole thing. And then there was a food fight and then it just went from there. It just went downhill. And then one dude was selling drugs or something and he got stabbed and
somebody got run over with a Jeep. So that's, I don't know if that's true or folklore.
Yeah, no, that's all true.
I know that's that when we got out there the night before and watched idiots jumping through tire fires, and they're like, "Where'd you get the tires? Off that guy's car." Okay, I don't want to know about that. I'm going to just sit here with my Jim Beam in the hell with it.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, whenever I think of Jay Giles Band, that's one of the shows that I think about is when they played.
That was, back I think, the day. First time I ever saw the band Stars, and I really liked it.
Yeah, that was great. Cherry Baby was one of the songs they had.
I pulled the plug, the love song of my life.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're talking about Dennis T. Menace. We're talking about Left End. And they did a cover of the Stars. I Pulled the Plug on My Love. And I think they did a better job than Stars did. I mean, that was one of those songs. But you know what? Dennis could do that. Dennis would do Alice Cooper better than Alice Cooper. I'm sorry, man. He would come out there and with a tuxedo on and a top hat and do like, "Hello, hooray." And he'd start pointing that sword at people. And just the way he would look at you and, yeah, you know, it was, you know, what a showman.
We were speaking about this earlier and it just popped into my head. Probably one of the greatest band introductions I've ever heard was always out there at Idora Park with the Wolf Brand Chili.
Yeah.
Right? And right after they said something about Wolf Brand Chili, they go, "Ladies and gentlemen,
Left End."
Yeah. What a great introduction. Dynamic, full forced, but Wolf Brand chili.
My sister wants to know if I'm talking about her ham. She made an awesome ham today. I usually make a better ham than
there's
my sister.
Her brother, but we're not going to talk about that.
I usually, you know.
You out ham your
sister. I out hammer. Yeah. But
involved, folks. This is going to get interesting.
And no, it was really good. I have to admit. Yeah, that's the last thing I needed to do was eat a bunch of ham today. But you know,
I can't. Ever since this chemotherapy thing and everything, man, it's like you commented on it, the fact that you know when most people looked at me and see me that, you know, I was 280 when this whole thing started. Trust me, I'm not anywhere near that. 250, not near that.
Yeah.
240, not near that either.
Yeah, man.
I'm almost down to the weight I weighed when I was 14.
Damn.
I can't believe I'm this thin anymore.
All right. Jay Bird is checking in.
Oh.
And Jay Bird says, how does it feel to be the old guys reminiscing about the good old days?
Fuck you, Jay Bird.
My thoughts exactly.
Not to say it, not to put too fine a point on it, Jay Bird. We love you and everything, but fuck you, man.
Our buddy Barb is checking in. Happy birthday, Barb. We'll see you out at St. Patrick's Day somewhere. Our buddy Dave is listening at work in Boardman. Good to have you along, Dave. Always
Dave
good
got a job. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
When did that happen? There are miracles.
Yeah, so, you know. Must not be too hard of a job.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't going to say anything.
But... Yeah. Jay Bird says, good to see you, Harry.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure I'm good to be seen. But
yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to add that, but since you said it, then I don't have to feel bad.
So we'll put kind of a...
Yeah, what other grandpa, what else? Grandpa, tell me about the good old days.
Yeah, where are you planning on rolling your two-wheeler this year? Anywhere?
Well, yeah, Ohio Bike Week, of course. Now, I know Dave and those guys, they're all Sap Dog and everybody. They're all going out to Sturgis, man. I would love to get some time off for that.
Did you see the thing I forwarded for Facebook?
Which one?
The one about choppers.
I'm not sure.
Facebook. This year, there's a chopper meeting party event over at the Buffalo Chip.
Uh-huh.
Helicopters are flying in. They're having a helicopter fly-in at Sturgis. The world has come to an end.
Copters and choppers.
Choppers and choppers. Remember what they call a helicopter?
Yeah.
A chopper.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're, apparently one of the people ran into a couple of guys and they were out there last year. And this year there's like a whole bunch of, there's a whole part of the Buffalo Chip campground that'll be reserved for these guys. They're bringing they're bringing their helicopters and they're coming.
Oh, what are we doing next, man?
Oh, my God.
What are we gonna do next?
Well, I went to the Lone Star Rally, and that's probably rallies vary from place to place. You'll see certain types of there's more of a propensity of certain types of motorcycles at certain types of places. When I went to the Lone Star Rally down in Texas, besides scaring Kelly half to death because I like to drive the wrong way down a one way street,
yeah,
in a car where everybody else was driving four wheel drive trucks about 40 feet in the air. They had more of those rear-wheel drive slingshots, T-Rexes, Polarises than I've ever seen in any one rally anywhere.
Spiders, you know.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, they'd roll up and they would be – one club would show up and they're 80 strong, you know. And it's just like – you see, that's what I said. You go to different places. You're like, you go to Las Vegas, it's like most of those people up there are like, hanging out. That's what they do. They don't get out of the hotels.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah.
You go to South Carolina to Myrtle Beach, and first of all, if you're smart, you go the week before Bike Week because that's when the locals, the first weekend of Bike Week, the 10 days, is the local Bike Week. That's the time to be there, all right? But the second week after that, I mean, what's funny is you see, when you go to the first weekend, you see motorcycles. But there are fucking golf carts everywhere.
Yeah.
Running up and down South Beach, you know, South Beach Avenue, whatever that's called. Down by the boulevard, down by the pavilions, down by the carnival area. It's crazy. Golf carts. I had one take me down to Suck Bang Blow, which is one of my favorite bars in the world.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, my wife was pushing me around in my wheelchair at that time. And we decided we wanted to go down to next bar down. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, my God. Anyway, they gave us a ride down in a golf cart. I was like, wow, this is crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. Dave says Higgs and Heifers in Las Vegas is great.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And Jay Bird says, look up Lost Highway and check out the lineup in Pocono, May 19th to the 21st.
Let's take a
look at that one. Lost Highway.
I think it's a band.
Well, Lost Highway. Jay and them guys went down to Gettysburg. They said they had a pretty good time down in Gettysburg.
You know the one I'm looking forward to, just because it's such a interesting situation, is the party on Route 46 coming up.
Hey, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun, man. I hope you come out, man. I'm planning on it. You know, we'll get you up on stage. We'll do some of our stuff. Wow, look at this lineup. Lost Highway Motorcycle Show and Concert coming to Poconos Park in Bushkill, Pennsylvania, May 19th through the 21st. Friday, it's Skinner, the Marshall Tucker Band, Rick Monroe, Jesse Zimmerman Band.
Actually, Saturday, it's left to be Skinner.
Announced. Oh, okay. And Deadbeat Customs, Motorcycle Gallery. Yeah, this looks like this is going to be a lot of fun out there. Yeah, yeah. Lost Highway in Pocono. Bushkill. That might be, and that's not really that far of a ride, you know. That's kind of doable. Yeah, that looks pretty good. Yeah.
We'll be talking, but I'm looking forward to the one out there at the Harley Davidson shop. That should prove to be, I saw the advertisement for it just the other day, and I'm like, I gotta go.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, so,
hey, you know what? I got to give Jackie and the whole crew out there. They're putting this together.
Yeah,
and they're putting a lot of work into this, and they really want to turn this into something, you know. And hopefully this year the weather will cooperate, and you know, a lot of, well, look it. You go to these. You go to some of these places. You go to Ohio Bike Week. Mm-hmm. How many people at Ohio Bike Week are there from Youngstown? You know,
it's like our second home, I think.
You know, you go to Thunder on the Strip in Geneva, it might as well be Youngstown Day. Yeah.
Yeah, Youngstown North.
It's like, you know, you look around and it's just like everybody is there. You're like, oh, okay, what do you do? You know,
did you see Fred? Yeah, he was down this one. Did you see Harry? He's over there.
You know, he's over there.
Speaking of events that are coming up, just because, you know, you were talking about Youngstown musical influence. I was talking to Paul Skowron the other day. Skowron, I always mess up his last name.
Yeah, Skowron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's looking to put together an event. They're getting ready to release a new CD.
Oh, he gave me a call. I got to call him back.
And
thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome. God knows it's something I haven't done. I've done a few times in my life.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. Freddie, you gonna get here? Hey, on time? Well, yeah, I'll be there in a little bit.
I never say later. That. I never say that.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I never say, yeah, I'm gonna be. I might say I'm on my way.
Yeah,
I might say I'm on my way.
I'm on my way as soon as I get done with the cops because I just wrecked the company truck. You know.
Hey, I just said I'm on my way. Right. Hey, Bill Larson checking in. Wow, Bill from the Wasted 4x4s. How are you doing, Bill?
And to everyone in Youngstown and Geneva, yes, baby, you're absolutely correct.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what, brother, I'm going to head for my ranch.
All right. Well, that sounds good. It's almost – hey, I know you've been having some medical problems. Now, what is this? Did you really have to bring in a jug of your urine sample? Is that – what am I supposed to do with this?
Drink it, you fool.
Drink it,
Christ! Wait, you don't
what
know
do you want me to do? Taste it and see if your sugar's acting up or what?
Yeah,
is that what it, you want me to check this to see if you're pregnant? Is that what this is?
I'm pregnant, we're about to be rich, motherfucker.
Hey, it's 2023, man. Anything is possible these days.
No, I don't think it's that possible.
So what do you got here, man? Some apple pie?
Kinda.
Okay.
It's sort of a slightly different version than I normally make.
Okay.
It was aged in a cask.
Oh, okay. It was aged in a casket. What kind of sick? No, don't even ask that.
Yeah, I don't know why you're about to ask a really foolish fucking question.
I know the answer to that one.
Yeah. It was aged.
This is Dave said drug testing in the studio. Yeah, I'm gonna take a taste of this and see what he's on. if you see me fall over or if I start tripping, you know that there's something wrong. You
did not crack the apple pie. All right. Yes, Todd, I'm going to bring you one next time I see you. But that was aged in a Chablis cask.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were telling me about that. You were telling me you're doing something different.
I think you'll find it's a little bit different than what I normally make.
Like what I like to call antifreeze? Is that?
I wouldn't call it antifreeze. I wouldn't call anything I make antifreeze.
Okay. All right.
Poison, maybe, but not antifreeze.
That's what I'm saying, you see? Oh, that is very tasty.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. That is very tasty.
Yeah, that's a long-term process. It's you know, my apple pies are usually, I make up a batch of shiny.
Now, alcohol. Now, right now, I'm just now getting, a little burn, but boy, that went down so smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's I can taste
the,
it.
That's what the aging, I bought, I bought like 3 or 4 barrel, five gallon.
That is really good, man. Yeah. That is really good.
Something for those cold winter nights, even if it's the middle of fucking summer.
They say you should be a new cast member on the Moonshiners.
Yeah.
That's what you need, man.
Can't get on that Moonshine Distillers.
Yeah.
But that's one of my favorite shows. I'm sure you'd
feel now this now. I'm getting the burn right now. Now it's kicking in. Now that first slug, there was nothing to it.
Hit it as a shot. You just can't hit it hard.
Yeah.
You know, if you hit like 3 shots in like 10 minutes,
yeah,
you're not going to like what's about to happen to you at all. I'll be honest with you.
All right.
But if you'd like to take it, I really like it when it's very cold. And I pour it over ice because the ice does help buffer it a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know.
No, I'll tell you what, though. That first sip, man, right there, that was pretty nice, man. So, you know, some of that you hit and it's just like, oh, man, you know.
Well, you've drank.
And I'm not saying yours. I've had yours, you know.
I understand. Well, that's mine, too. But
yeah,
that's mine with the process of 1, 2, 3 filtrations into the case. Into the keg and sat in the keg for over a year. So,
yeah, Jay Bird said he's heading down to Tennessee. Yeah, he ran into Hunter Digger and those guys down there.
I saw something the other day in my closet that I haven't seen in a while. I have a Nashville Bike Week T-shirt. That's an event. Somebody said to me because I wore it out that day. I've never knew there was a bike week in Nashville. There wasn't. There was a guy that like ripped a whole bunch of people off and paid a whole bunch of people and then got arrested for
they stuff. Still had the shirt. Somebody in some flea market somewhere had a truckload.
He actually sent me and Kelly were actually going to run the whole show for him. And he hired us and he paid us. And I think that we were the last people he paid legitimately. And we got T-shirts and press passes and all kinds of stuff.
And right? It never went down.
It never happened. It was a flim flam from the get go, man. They were going to have it down on Loretta Lynn's ranch and everything. And
I think I vaguely remember you telling me about that.
I tell people about.
Yeah, the Loretta Lynn ranch. That's what clicked. Yeah.
And I always think it's funny. I mean, you know, people used to call up me and Kelly and yell us about, well, we sent our money and now we're never going to get it back. And, you know, because I was doing the podcast back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, hey, fuck, man. They sent me a check. I cashed it. It cleared. Fuck you.
Yeah.
What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, Bill says, do I remember the moonshine at the wasted party? Oh, yeah, I do. I'll tell you, the one day, one of the best moonshiners I ran into was a few years ago out at Sharon Speedway. And this guy had everything. I mean, and he had everything tasted really good. And, you know, we were all camping out there. You know, I'm playing. We got a bonfire going. They were keeping it going all night. And all of a sudden, this guy had come in. Hey, we got some apple pie. We got some apple pie. And his name was D.Y. Dan, by the way. Just so you know, D.Y. Dan, if you're out there, brother, you'll remember this party. Because next thing you know, man, he come out with this lemonade. And everyone was just, it was The guy had so much great moonshine, and then all of a sudden he's bringing out pudding shots, and he's bringing out Jello shots.
Don't you love a generous giver?
I mean, everyone, this guy was so just sharing with everybody. That was kind of like his thing, man. You know, he just wanted to turn everybody on to all this other different kinds of moonshine and stuff, and it was just that was one of my best moonshine parties. But of course, Wild Bill, man, the Wasted 4x4 parties were legendary. We had so much fun up there. But well, listen, man, you ready to wrap things up here?
Yeah, hey, I want to thank you for having me on.
Oh, hello, you know,
to all
it, brother.
My friends and family out there are the can't really call them the airwaves anymore.
Yeah, is it really on the cyberspace? Welcome to cyber world. Yeah,
out there in the interweb.
Cyberspace or whatever you want to call it. Well, listen, George, it's good to see you, and I'm glad you're continuing on with your recovery, brother. Yeah. And I'll pick you up a shirt at Left End, and make sure we get you covered on that, and you know, just continue your recovery, and you know, we got to get out, man. Our goal's got to be next year for your birthday to visit the Boot Hill as the tradition continues, and have a couple of those giant Jaeger shots that they were serving up back in the day. You know what? And they, you know, we walk in there and we're thinking, oh man, these guys are going to jack the prices up. That's one thing I will say about Boot Hill. They did not jack up the price, and those Jaeger shots were huge, man.
And I like Fred, man. He's like, well, I'll go knock this shot back halfway through. He went, and he had to stop.
Those were some big shots.
There's a lot more around here than I thought there was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
What shot glass were you fucking looking at?
Yeah, man. That was some good stuff.
Oh
there,
my
man.
God.
All right, listen, brother. Thanks for stopping by. You know, we just kind of scratched the surface on all the great stories that we could tell. But you know,
yeah. Let's get into the reason why some person who was a lead singer for a very large band calls me Scary Harry.
Yeah, we could get into that.
Lizzie you know. And crew.
Yeah. 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 We could get back into all that stuff. Well, listen, let's plan another day for you to stop by.
Absolutely.
And continue on with your recovery. And hopefully I'll see you in June out at the Harley shop in Austintown, Rally on 46.
And above all else, remember, Youngstown rocks.
You know it, man. Well, listen, George, thanks for stopping by. And BJ, thank you. Our
BJ.
Producer. And the lovely Elizabeth stopping by to say hello, just checking it out.
I'll tell you what, BJ, I'm relatively impressed with the thing you catch on goddamn fire.
You and me both, buddy.
Oh, man.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.